We thank God for just another glorious opportunity to enter into his house of worship and prayer. Truly, M.D. Anderson is full, but we thank God we're at Orange Chapel on tonight. Truly, Perpetual Care in the cemeteries, the lawn and the grass and all has been mowed, and weed eaters and all of that, it looks cute. Amen. But how many would rather be here on tonight? Amen. Amen. So we thank God. We thank God for traveling grace. We thank God for this church family. We thank God for Pastor McGuire. Amen. Very dynamic speaker. You know, you can't fake the power. You can do a lot of faking, but you can't fake the power. He preaches with power, with results, and you can't do that without the Lord. To Pastor McCartney, amen, just so good to meet you on tonight. I'm meeting some beautiful pastors as I'm ministering this week. I met Pastor Slaughter, of course, I met him last year, just a beautiful spirit. And Reverend Hill, okay, I got you mixed up with that sister, amen, Reverend Wagner. Amen. Pleased to meet you. Amen. And certainly to the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church family. Come on, y'all, wave at me. Stand up. Stand up, Mount Pisgah. Amen. 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 We had these four last night, and we got an addition of three more tonight. Y'all, we got more members than that now. Amen. But we just thank God for those that are on the road. I hear you. I hear you, Reverend. Lest I hold you too long, for those of you that have your Bibles, the 17th chapter, we're going right back where we were last night. 17th chapter of Luke, the 11th verse. Last night help anybody? Amen. How many of you were here last night? Hold your hands up. All right. God be praised. 17th chapter of Luke, the 11th verse. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith, not the compassion of Christ, but thy faith hath made thee whole. Back up in that 14th verse, and when he saw them, Jesus said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. You may be seated. Want to talk to you. Right briefly, part two. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. We talked last night about Jesus says, go show yourselves unto the priest. And we discovered on last night that Jesus had already healed them. He would have never told them to go show themselves to the priest. if the healing had not already taken place. And so they were obedient to what Jesus told them. Under the Mosaic law, you had to show yourself to the priest. Now, it doesn't mean because they had to go to the priest to be healed. It meant they had to obey the law. But when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, Jesus was saying, you're already healed. And when Jesus says, when Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call on the name of the Lord, you already saved. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Now, it might not be manifested in your lifestyle, but you are already saved. Somebody ought to be shouting over that, because you know you cussed somebody out today. Amen. You know you did some stuff today that you weren't supposed to do. But you need to know that that didn't affect your salvation one iota. Well, somebody said, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, turn to Hebrews 7 and 25. Are we there yet? Listen, I told you last night I didn't come to holler at you. So if you're looking for some hooping, you're going to have to do that with somebody else. He says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the what? Y'all know what uttermost is? We talked about that last night. Didn't I say that last night? You can't even wrap your minds around uttermost. It is unfathomable limits. I mean, you can't even imagine that. You try to wrap your mind around the bigness of God. You'll have bolts and nuts popping out of your brain. Hello, somebody. God is too big for us to comprehend. You just have to believe God and go on. He says that God is able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by Jesus. Seeing he what? Look at your neighbor and tell him, God not dead. He's yet alive. And right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the redeemed of God. Listen, you in this thing and you can't get out of it. Hello, somebody. Now, folk might put you out of it, but there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I came to help somebody tonight. Nothing wrong with being at the cross, but it's time for some of us to leave the cross. Nothing wrong with standing at the grave, but it's time for some of us to leave the grave. You need to start worshiping the Christ that's sitting at the right hand. The ascended Christ. He's alive and he's well, and Satan is alive and well, and he's standing on the left hand saying, Daddy, he'll entice you to do stuff. Amen. That's why to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. Because that's Satan's domain. And he has three things that he's always used and that he will always use. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at your neighbor and tell him, Satan don't have no power. But he got plenty game. Satan can't make you do nothing. But he got some stuff that your old man is attracted to. And when you got an old man, he's powerful because he's got these strong cravings. Hello, somebody. How many of y'all got some stuff in your life that you're trying to stop doing now? Let me see your hand. I'm glad you were honest. I want to serve. The reason that I'm here on this week is to set you free. Because I want to tell you, you will never stop doing it. You don't have the power to stop doing it. If you did, Jesus never would have died. You don't have the power to stop doing what you know you got no business doing. If Paul didn't have it, the greatest preacher this side of Jesus didn't have it. Y'all quiet now. Turn to the 7th chapter of Romans. Listen, if I'm not going to give you the word, I'm going to shut up. Look at your neighbor and tell him, your old man is not dead. You reckon him as dead, but he's not dead. Because if somebody kill your dog, how many know you're going to kill their cat? I'm going to get him. That's your old man. Because the new man say if they slap you on one cheek, you turn the other. Y'all know what we say. Well, Pastor, you're going to have to pray for me. Because we're going to get that rascal. Paul, here is the struggle. See, on last night I told you, you're not struggling. Well, you are struggling to stop. And you're going to lose in that struggle. You're a miserable Christian because I don't know how I'm going to live up to this. And most of you are like the song said, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? Isaiah says all of our righteousness. You know, doing your best to make it in. All of your righteousness is as a menstrual rag. That's what he mean when he say filthy rag. And here we are trying to merit our salvation. Preach, Pruitt. You will never stop doing what you're doing. That's a trick of the enemy. You're going to get set free tonight. You're going to stop trying to work your way into heaven and understand this thing is of grace. Well, I want to go to another. Let's go to Romans 3 and 20. 3 and 19. I know I told you to go there. We're going back there. Don't get discouraged. He says, now we know that whatever thing the law says, it says to them who are under the law that what? And what? The law was not given for people to be righteous. The law was given for everybody to shut up talking about they are righteous. That's what the law did. Everybody was guilty under the law. Nobody could get to heaven under the law. Those running around trying to keep the Ten Commandments, you can't keep them. The only reason God gave the law was to shut everybody up and let them know the only way you can be saved is I got to save you. Amen. The law was your schoolmaster and it brought you to grace. That's right. Yes, Lord. Preach, Pruitt. Yes, see, we're talking about salvation is of the Lord. Why did God put that tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then put prohibition there that you better not eat of that tree? You think God didn't know they were going to eat of the tree? Why didn't God just make us where we wouldn't sin and we would be just innocent always before God? Turn to Ephesians 2 and 8. Y'all gonna make me shout in here. Instead of shouting, I need to find the scripture, don't I? Verse 6, And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Come on, read it loud. That's why the tree was there. God wanted to show us can't nobody save like I can. That's what the whole Bible is about, is God's salvation of man, which he made in his likeness and in his image. And God had a plan that I'm going to show the whole everything about my grace, how I could make drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes and liars and thieves. I could make the scum of the earth my sons and my daughters. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. God is showing off his grace. God, you know, we're talking about God is good all the time. You have no idea what you're saying. He's good in the morning. He's good in the evening. He's good over in the midnight hours. God is intrinsically good. That's all God's going to ever be to you is good. Folk talking about the Lord getting you. The Lord will never get you. He might chasten you. But the only reason we whoop our kids is because we want them to do right. Look at your neighbor and tell them, when the Lord spanked me, the only thing he's trying to get out of me is for me to live holy. That's the only reason daddy whoop you. That's the only reason bad stuff comes. God don't send no bad stuff in your life to punish you. He sends stuff in our life to get our attention. And we got all of these preconceived notions. And man, there's so many people setting up in church and you're just so condemned by what you did and you're trying to stop doing what you can't stop doing what you're doing. And we talked about last night, you are the righteous. Do you know who you are? You are the righteousness of God. And I mean not one inkling of the righteousness of God is diminished in you being the right. You are the very, because you walking right. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. Now you walk right in the throne room. But before that, you get in there, God would have to wipe you out. But you can walk right in the throne room because you got an intercessor that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he makes you just as righteous as God. You can't wrap your mind around that. Somebody ought to say, ooh, wee. Yeah, I can tell the way you're looking at me. You don't even believe that. And if you do believe it, it's just kind of a passing knowledge. Because that went to your brain. That didn't go to your spirit. So you need to receive this stuff in your spirit. Because when God saved you, he gave the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit won't speak to your soul. It won't speak to your flesh. He speaks only to your spirit. He says you must be born again. You got to be born of the Spirit. For that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. So your spirit must be regenerated. It must be born again to comprehend the things of God. And if you sit up here in your flesh now, you're going to miss all of this. I promise you, you'll miss it. You'll leave out here no better off than you were when you came through the door. You won't know anything about walking in victory. You won't know anything about how awesome you really are. Why folk don't have no joy in church? That's why folks sitting around looking sad like somebody beat them up before they got here and talked about their mom and stuff, because they don't know who they are. And the preacher got to get in the pulpit, give God a praise off, and got to orchestrate our praise. Somebody ought to have to hold us, because we don't know who we are. And some of us as preachers, we won't tell you because we're just trying to get membership. Uh-oh. I'm meddling now. I better move on. Trying to grow our churches. And we're growing our churches with carnal-minded Christians, all kind of hell and everything going on in the church because people don't know who they are. And we don't care just as long as our church is growing. Y'all be surprised how many pastors don't really like other pastors. Listen, we some of the most player-hating folk on the planet. You would think folk would be proud of Orange Chapel filling up, but Doc, that ain't the way it is. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, keep it real, Pastor. God is showing off his grace. Now, these lepers, when they saw Jesus, leprosy represented sin in ancient Israel. See, the problem, what's wrong with us, is we have this thing in us called sin. And so the great dilemma is, how do I get the sin out of the sinner that's separating me from relationship with him without destroying the sinner? How do I get the leprosy out of these 10 lepers without destroying the lepers? I'm trying to get you to see how this is lining up into biblical doctrine. And so Jesus said, because they were crying out. Now, the leper, they were alienated from the rest of the people. They were ostracized, and just like we are, alienated from God because of sin. Now, are you following me? And so they said, Jesus, save us. How many of you have said, Jesus, save me? Now, that was some leper. That was a leper over in the 5th chapter, and he just healed his stuff immediately. But why did he not do that here? And I believe he was trying to give us some biblical doctrine in this healing. I believe he went the other side of Calvary. And he said, go show yourselves to the priest. You're already healed. That's your position of salvation. See, how many of us want to stop doing right? Stop doing wrong so that we can be more saved? Listen, you saved as you gonna ever be. And the indwelling of the Spirit you got all of the Holy Spirit. You're not gonna get any more Holy Spirit. When you got the indwelling, and he says, he that has not the Spirit of God is none of his. He says, you know if Christ Jesus be in you, except you be reprobate. And Jesus says that I'm going to take of the things of the Father, and I'm going to show them, give them to the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to show them to you. So, turn to Romans, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. We were over here last night, so we got to go back over some stuff because we're talking about sanctification tonight. Romans, the first chapter, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I'm going to read verse 9. See, this is going to help somebody because you hear preachers preach this all the time and they stop right here. But as it is written, what? I had not seen, nor you heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You see the next word? Don't run over that butt. Because see, how many of y'all ever been to a carnival or whatever and shot them guns and when you, the little thing's going this way, and you hit him, and he turned and go back the other way. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen it. You hadn't hit it into the hearts of man, the things that God has stored for them. But God has revealed them. What did we say last night, Reverend? Revelation to restoration to revival See, some of us tonight need to have a revelation so we can be restored, and then we'll be revived. God has revealed them to us by what? The Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches what? Yes, the what? Whoa. That's the reason many of us are shallow water fishes. Because see, he told you not to quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Y'all know what quench means? When you put a fire out. You're putting out the working of the Spirit by quenching the Spirit. And see, when you quench the Spirit, you're subject to do anything. Because that's why you're struggling trying to stop, because you have quenched the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and tell them, the Spirit is your stopper. You can't stop doing nothing in your flesh just because you will it. I'm going to stop doing this. Can I be frank? I don't want to say that that's a lie. I want to say that's deceiving yourself. When you talk about I'm going to stop, you'll never stop. And God knows that. That's why he gave us the Spirit. And that's why he told Paul, said, don't quench the Spirit. Because the Spirit is what's going to deliver you. Do you know that the Spirit is the other life in you? That's the God life in you. Jesus says, these words are spirit and they are what? Man, you got a God life in you. You got a divine life in you. You are walking around with Jesus Christ in you by the agent of the Holy Spirit. And the devil don't want you to know it, because he know when you come to the knowledge of this information, you can roke his head like okra. Or should I say okra? Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are head-knocking demons. You don't wrestle with no regular demon, because he know that you are son of God. He know you got Jesus in you. The same thing that Jesus told them demons. He said, we know you, master, don't cast us out of this area. Demons love where they are geographically. They don't want to leave. But you got power to make them get up out of there. He just don't want you to know you got it. Husbands, our wives won't act right. You got power. Well, thank you. We all in there raising his hand. Well, you got to stop this. Talk to Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And get out of the way and just love her. Right. Wives, you tripping on your husband. Well, you won't do right and you won't do it. Don't you know what you got in you? Preach. Man, you ought to go in that bedroom and put some oil on that sucker while he's asleep. And all him down, and where he get up in the morning, what is all this on me? He can't get out of bed. He got to slide out of bed. Yeah, yeah. Shoot, you just look at him and walk off. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let no devil have your husband. Don't let no devil have your wife. You got power. Don't let no devil have your children. Don't let no devil have your pastor. You got power. You got God in you. And if we just knew anything about what we've got in us, the devil knows what you got in you. And he's careful about what he do to you. And the only thing he's going to do to you is try to give some stuff to entice your old man so you'll quench the spirit. Because he's trying to calm you down. He's trying to steal some of your power. Well, your ability to exercise that power. And also in Ephesians 4:30, he says, grieve not the Spirit. Now, when we live together, or when we commit fornication, or adultery. Come here, brother boss. Come here. Come here. Now, ain't nothing funny about him. Ain't nothing funny about me. I got a wife and two kids and six grandkids. And love Sister Pruitt. I started to say love women, and then y'all went crazy. I love Sister Pruitt. All right. And I know brother boss got a boo. I heard about it. So. He's Christ. I'm CW. Come in, Sister Kelly. Right here, baby. Come on, Jesus. That's good right there. Hey, baby. You're looking mighty good this evening. Jesus, what you got to say? Jesus is, what about your digits, baby? She gave me the digits, and we get to know one another. You got to watch getting to know one another, because then, you know, husbands, you got people you confide in. Wives, you got people you confide in and all of that. Y'all know where that's going, don't you? Soon as you get to know them, I don't know what happened. You lie, your pants on fire. But now we have this encounter. Now we know one another because of lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. And it attracted my old man, not my new man, but it attracted my old man. And so the new man that's in Christ, him. Don't do it. But these cravings are so powerful. Are we really that stuck on stupid to think that we can check those cravings with our flesh? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And we're trying to please God by stop doing something in our flesh. And doc, that ain't happening. You on Satan's territory. You on Satan's ground. You ain't gonna stop. And so we get involved and have a sexual encounter. Do you know Jesus is right there involved in that? Did we get that? We talked about sex last night, man. Sex is holy. Sex is good when it's done within the confines that God designed it for. He didn't design it for sexual pleasure between anybody other than a husband and a wife. And it is a celebration of that union, what God has joined together. See, folk talking about getting married, they need some orientation, because you got to understand God's in this thing. You might not even acknowledge it, but what God has joined together. Because Malachi says he takes a portion of that unity candle that you light, that he takes a portion of that spirit of unity and put one part on you and one part on her. And that unites you in God's eyesight with one spirit. And so in Malachi, he said, God hate divorce. Because you messing up my spirit of unity. Hello, somebody. Divorce is heavy stuff in God's eyesight. Amen. Just because they change on you. What about this? Why don't we just love them anyway? You may be seated. You may be seated. Why we got to love them because they do this and do that? Why don't we just have that agape love? Agape love loves the ugly. Agape love loves the unlovely. It loves the raggedy. Agape love has nothing to do the beauty and the glory of the object being loved has nothing to do with you loving them. Thank you, Reverend. Because the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners,
Christ died for us. I got to get through with this. Sanctification is you being separated and set apart for God's use. Justification is your position. Sanctification is your everyday living. It's what you do on Monday when you leave church on Sunday. What you going to do on Monday? Are you going to be sanctified on your job, or you just going to be like folk on the job? Somebody cut you off on the highway, you going to be sanctified, or you going to be hellified? Let's go back to Romans. Paul had a struggle going on. And this is those of us that are trying to stop doing. Paul was trying to do that. Romans, the 7th chapter and the 15th verse. Remember now, the Bible said that as they went, they were cleansed. And the New Living Translation said, as they went, the leprosy disappeared. And as you go, stuff is dropping off of you. Look at your neighbor and tell them, be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, I am still in the way. Now that's your practice. That's your everyday living. But when God looks at you, you are the righteousness of God. And you can't get out of it. But now your everyday living is something different from who you are in your position. See, your standing and your state are two different things. You're never going to be any more saved than you are right now, if you are saved. And we're trying to live up to it. Struggling. You know why folk don't get saved? They don't want to be like you, struggling. Yeah, I don't want to be no hypocrite. That's the number one thing when you invite folk to church and all that. They got to stop doing this. And that's satanic salvation, a work salvation. Said that last night. Was then, verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me, talking about the law. God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin worketh death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under. This is Paul talking. Hello. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. Oh man. For what I would, that do I not. Talking about the new man, for what I would. That's the new man. And then the old man, that do I not. He said, but what I hate, that's the new man. That do I, that's the old man. He says, if then I do that which I would not, that's the new man. I consent unto the law that it is good. New man. Now, then it is no more I that do it, that's the new man, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Come on. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that are trying to do right, what did the rest of that say? Those that you are trying to stop doing in your flesh. In your flesh, the Bible says there is not one good thing in your flesh. See, many of you are not buying what I'm teaching you on tonight. Many of you are going to leave here and be just as bound as you were when you came through the door. And you will never experience the blessedness of sanctification. You will never experience the blessedness of sanctification is the filling of the Spirit. That's the new life. And you can't do that on your own. God got to do that. He says, you can do nothing without me. There's too many of us leave God out of our business. I might get there later on. He says, for to will is present with me, the new man. But how to perform that which is good, I find not, the old man. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, the new man, that I do is the old man. Now, if I do that I would not, that's the new man, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, the sin nature. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got a sin nature. I know you don't want to admit it, but you got a sin nature. You sin. You don't sin because you don't sin just because you want it. You sin because that's who you are. Amen. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, that's who? The new man. Evil is present with me. That's your old man. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, how many of us wanted to do God's bidding before we got saved? How many of us wanted to please God before we got saved? Why are you trying to stop doing what you're doing? Because you want to please God. Yeah. And so the fact that you want to please God is evidence that you are saved.
Yeah.
That's your new nature.
Yeah. All
right. You have a new nature because now you really want to please. That's the only reason you're trying to stop. But you're trying to stop by Satan's way. Stop worrying about stopping and start just being who you are. Just stop, because when the law was given, it stirred up sin. You keep telling somebody don't do this and don't do that. Guess what they're going to do? You tell your kid, boy, don't go over to so-and-so's house. He's going to sneak off if he got to sneak off over at 4 o'clock in the morning and go over to so-and-so's house because you told him not to go. The law stirs up sin. And we got to spend more time telling you what you need to do rather than what you don't need to do. Let me say that again. Preachers got to spend more time telling you what you need to do rather than what you don't need. Because you already know what you don't need to do. Is this helping anybody? See, I'm trying to show you how to live a victorious Christian life. Trying to be a happy Christian. He says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into a captivity, into the law of sin, which is what? In my members, the sin nature. And he says, who? What kind of man? Those of you that are trying to stop sinning, you wretched rascal. Y'all know what wretched means? You a miserable Christian. Wretched means you're miserable. And when you look that word up in the Greek, it means that you are just wore smooth flapjack out from trying. Instead of hitting that altar, man, God is good. You know what God did for me? See, when we open the doors of the church, some of y'all just ought to come give God some praise for who you are. You don't have to come crying all the time. Most of us come crying because we don't know who we are. Some of us just ought to get up and rejoice at the fact of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Paul was a wretched man. Paul was the apostle. But he was trying to live in his new man without any power. See, the new man don't have any power. He wants to do what God wants him to do, but he don't have the power to do what God wants him to do.
And so he was struggling in his flesh trying to do what God wanted him to do. Does this hit anybody? I told you I didn't come to holler at you, but boy, if you get this, your whole experience as a Christian is going to be different. Because you're going to stop tripping on yourself. Look at your neighbor and tell him, stop tripping on yourself. Because God's not tripping on you. Why do you think he did this? He set us. See, you were a slave to sin, but he came and set you free that you might do the thing that is righteous. He brought you out of slavery to sin that you have the ability to do the right thing. When he said he set you free, he whom the Son set free is free indeed. That's what he's talking about. You've been freed from the slavery of sin. Now you can do the right thing. But we still struggling, trying. And then Paul breaks into jubilation in the 25th. I thank God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. 8 and 1. There is therefore. How many know what therefore means? Therefore means in view of the prior stated facts. In view of what Paul just said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that's not in the original Greek. We're going to get to that where it is in the original Greek. You are no longer guilty. That's what condemnation does. It makes you guilty. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you are no longer guilty. All of those folk that are condemning you, they are totally and completely out of order. That's why you can't enjoy church. That's why you don't want to come to Bible study. That's why you don't want to come to Sunday school. That's why you don't want to get in the choir. That's why you want to be a pew member. Hello, somebody, because I don't think I measure up. Baby, please. Get on up and get excited about who you are. Stop worrying about your experience as they went. Whatever's in you not right, you can't get it out. Hello, somebody. But tide can get it out. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. When Adam took us down, partner, he took us down. And all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But boy, when the king showed up. How many know the potter wants to put you back together again? So where did we get the power from? Let me get out of this. Y'all looking sleepy. I know it's time to go. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from my old nature and death. Sin and death is your old nature. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. And he is the law of that spirit. I use this illustration. Guys, I'm going to let y'all go. I know I'm on overtime. Why does that quarter come down? Why didn't it just keep going up? The what? See, when there is a law, it don't make any difference what's going on. That law is operative. You can't stop the law of gravity. Why, when you shut the engine off on a plane, does it fall? Because all the time it's flying, that law is still working. the law of gravity. Now, the only way to overcome a law, you got to have a higher law. The only reason an airplane flies, it's got a higher law. The law of lift and thrust. The law of aerodynamics makes it overcome the law of gravity. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ overcomes the law of... Are y'all getting this? It ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. The law of life, of the spirit of life, is still working even though you're not doing what you're supposed. Let me shut this down. As they went, they were cleansed. See, you might be doing this today, but how many know God's going to deliver you? He said that he's going to take the church and present it to himself, not having spot. God's going to get the spot of sin out. So you stop tripping trying to get it out. You're just going to wear yourself out trying to get it out. Stop tripping trying to get it out and let God get it out. Can I get a witness in the house? The Bible says as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, you know, I used to be jealous. Jealousy fell off. As they went, they were cleansed. I used to be envious. You know, I ain't envious no more. As they went, they were cleansed. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm on my way to the priest's house. As they went, they were full of hate. But hate fell off. Can I get a witness in the house? As they went, they were backbiters. And backbiting fell off. As they went, they were gossipers. And gossiping fell off. As they went, they were slanderers. And slandering fell off.